Hey, everybody, welcome to the GeekWire podcast. I'm GeekWire editor Todd Bishop.
And I'm John Cook, GeekWire co-founder.
All right, we've got a fun challenge coming up later on in the show. I'm going to quiz you in the audience and John here in the studio to see if you can figure out and discern between a synthesized voice, a new AI assistant from a Seattle startup, and a real human voice reading the same thing. And it's going to be harder than you might expect.
I'm ready to be stumped, Todd. Hit me.
This is a new startup that's spun out of AI2, the lab in Seattle, and they came out with a new voice this week, and we're going to be exploring that later
on. Speaking of voices, your voice is very gravelly today. I wonder if the audience is picking up on that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we had our GeekWire bash last night, so we were both there, and in fact, we will have a report from the scene of the bash later on, including an epic ping pong challenge
between the two GeekWire co-founders, and you'll be delighted to know who wins that match.
No, you won't. All right, so that's coming up later on. But first, there was a bombshell in the U.S. presidential campaign this morning, at least as it relates to the tech industry and as it relates to one candidate's proposal. U.S. Senator Elizabeth Warren, the Democratic candidate for president for the presidential nomination, said she wants to break up Amazon, Google, and Facebook. And she delivered a real zing to Microsoft Bing, as we said in the headline.
Microsoft's not getting broken up, don't worry. But Bing stinks.
Yes, exactly. So
why did she have to throw Bing under the bus?
It seemed really unnecessary.
That was very petty, I thought.
It was. It was a little surprising.
Bing's a fine search engine, too. It doesn't have the market share, but is it, you know, it's not a terrible product.
No, and certainly, I mean, Microsoft makes more than $6 billion a year in advertising revenue from the thing. So clearly it's effective at serving enough people's needs to generate that kind of business. But just to take a step back, this was a fascinating memo post that Elizabeth Warren published, because it really does take a stand and say, hey, this is going to be one of the tentpole issues of her campaign, that big tech is too big. And the fundamental issue that she identified was the idea of companies both providing a platform and then participating in that platform. And this goes back to the old networks, like phone networks, where you might have applications and services on top of the network that the utility is providing. And she's basically comparing them to a utility and saying they are acting unfairly.
Which, I've read most of the essay, and I have some problems with it, just to come right out with it. And she mentions it. Amazon controls half of the retail market in the United States. That's half, 50%. That means 50% of people have other choices in which to get their products and services. And it is up to the American consumer to determine if they want to get their products and services from those other companies. I buy very little on Amazon. Other people can choose to buy very little on Amazon. I don't feel as if you, as a larger consumer of Amazon, are getting forced into buying more product that you might not necessarily want from Amazon, right?
So here is the fundamental issue, and it's great because I get to dust off all my Microsoft antitrust knowledge, and it is a little bit dusty, but you have to define the market. Is the market all retail sales, or is the market e-commerce sales? Does it include physical retail sales? And so then you take the market share and you say, is it a dominant market position? And if so, it's not just that they have to be dominant, it's that they have to abuse. If they're abusing that dominance to extend their position into related or tangential markets, that's when it becomes a problem. And that's where it was, for example, a problem for Microsoft back in the 1990s, where they had the dominant Windows operating system. And then they used that to their unfair advantage to dominate browsers and squash Netscape.
I don't even know if Facebook's going to be around in 10 years. I mean, they are suffering that many problems right now, and they have a crisis within their organization and a crisis of users fleeing it. That's another product I don't really use. I mean, two of the products she mentions here, I don't even really use that much.
Yes,
and
you
in
are
a true,
an outlier,
in a true,
though. So.
I don't know about that. I think people are, I guess I have more confidence in people to make wiser decisions. And I think people are going to start wising up to using things like Facebook or Amazon.
To me, one of the most compelling parts of her essay was pointing out that Amazon, in addition to providing this e-commerce platform, has been accused in the past of essentially watching which third-party retailers do well on the platform. And of course, Amazon has huge, vast amounts of knowledge, data about what works and what doesn't, even in cases when it's not the actual seller of the product. The third-party marketplace is one of the main pillars of Amazon's business. But what happens is they see what's succeeding, and then they go out and basically do the same thing, and maybe even a little better, because they're learning from what all of these other companies are doing. And that's the fundamental problem that she's pointing to. Amazon has the power of operating the platform, and it then uses that power to its unfair advantage to compete with these small retailers. So that is, I think, probably the most convincing argument she can make. Now, with Facebook and Google, it's all about privacy and advertising and how they might leverage their information, the information they know about all of us, to their unfair advantage in these marketplaces, but in the advertising marketplace. But
can't you achieve that with new privacy laws and regulations like we're seeing in Europe versus breaking the organizations up?
Yes, I think so. So her two specific proposals are, first, pass legislation that requires large tech platforms to be designated as platform utilities and broken apart from any participation on that platform. So that's number one. And then number two, she would appoint regulators committed to reversing illegal and anti-competitive tech mergers.
Including Whole Foods.
Wow.
Zappos from Amazon, Facebook, WhatsApp, Instagram, Google, Waze, Nest, DoubleClick.
So to be clear, what we're saying is, in those cases, they would unwind the merger of Amazon and Whole Foods, and the merger from, gosh, how many years ago, of Amazon and Zappos, and Facebook, WhatsApp would no longer be part of Facebook, Instagram. Now, here's what's interesting. In some cases in mergers in the past, you could have said that's crazy because they were truly mergers where they actually integrated, but there's been this trend in the tech industry where Facebook and Amazon, Google, Microsoft, they allow these acquisitions to continue operating as standalone units. Like Amazon's acquisition of Ring is another example. Now, that's not targeted here. But
Zappos, though.
Yeah.
Zappos operated very independently.
Right, exactly.
And has.
And still does to this day. In some cases, you don't even know that it's part of Amazon if you go to Zappos. So at any rate, what I'm saying is the tech companies might have inadvertently opened themselves up to this kind of move because they can't claim that it's so tightly integrated that this would be impossible on a lot of these acquisitions. So this is fascinating. My big question is this just a blip? Is this just one moment in a very long presidential campaign?
No, it's not. This is something. This is a changing undercurrent, and you're seeing it play out with the Green New Deal. You're seeing it play out in a lot of different spheres of politics with a movement within the Democratic Party towards this belief system. And on the counter side, you're seeing the Republicans coming out with who wants to have a socialist America. Right. And so this is only going to accelerate. We're going to hear about this for the next few years as we go into the heavy duty presidential cycle. This is going to be the key issue, maybe not this specifically on the breaking up of tech, but socialism versus capitalism is the battle lines being drawn here.
And it's, to me,
if you want to just put it in black and white terms.
Right. And to me, what happens is on each side,
It polarizes.
Yeah, and there's caricatures.
That's truly not what happens. Yes.
Yeah. And then you have Howard Schultz coming in from Starbucks to try and sort of split the middle.
Well, if you try to do that and you try to give more of a nuanced view, you get crushed. If you're in the middle, you do get destroyed. So you got to be one of these, especially in the primaries. You got to be on the fringe and do this kind of stuff in order to win the base. And so in that regard, it could just be blowing some smoke here until the new person gets into office.
So lastly here, the example that Elizabeth Warren used from the past to justify the approach that she's taking is Microsoft. And she pointed to the evidence that's sort of emerged recently that even though Microsoft ended up reaching a settlement that was at the time seen to be somewhat toothless, it actually did have an impact, some impact on the market. And, you know, there's no disputing it set Microsoft back to some extent. And her contention is that was the right way to handle it, that cleared a path for internet companies like Google and Facebook to emerge. And then her big zinger was that's great, because aren't we all glad that now we have the option of using Google instead of being stuck with Microsoft Bing? So that's the zinger that we were talking about earlier.
The odd thing here, and especially that Microsoft isn't mentioned here as one, I mean, Microsoft is, I think, going well positioned to take massive market share away from Amazon in their cloud business, which is their most profitable business. They are a juggernaut. Their market value, haven't checked in a little while, but has been larger than many of these tech companies that she's citing. So I don't think
you could point to Microsoft today and say that the company owns I'm thinking this through on the fly here, but do they own a dominant platform that could be characterized as a monopoly that's relevant to today's tech world? I don't think you could say Windows is relevant in that way, that it would be targeted by regulators anymore.
It probably has larger market share.
Yes, but that's on PCs, and I think you have to define the market today as computing devices, which includes tablets and smartphones and everything else. And so I think you have a hard time arguing now.
Why wasn't Apple mentioned? Apple has large market share on mobile.
Yeah, well, it's an interesting approach. I think that the concerns about Google and Facebook and their role in spreading misinformation, and then Amazon and its role in commerce are going to make them the poster kids for this. You know, like that is really what's going on.
Well, the tech industry is going to hate this, and if you believe that the tech industry moves in cycle, and there really is the tech industry is going to hate this, but you know, the tech industry is largely under attack, and in part because of their own stupidity over the last several years.
And then lastly here, I want to, on this topic,
I can keep going on.
It's a great topic. There is a fantastic story that Lisa Stifler on our team, wrote about Microsoft's approach to philanthropy, to doing good deeds, to basically its role of civic and social responsibility. And she wrote this past week, and it really gets into all of these issues, because Microsoft has essentially contrasted itself with Facebook.
The white knight.
Yes. They prefer the phrase white horse because then that means that they're just part of the stampede of doing good in the world through tech. And so you see Microsoft sort of capitalizing on the negative
weaknesses of these companies and how they're getting battered.
Yeah. And the point of Lisa's story is, yes, Microsoft is trying to do good, but bigger picture, what Microsoft is doing inadvertently or on purpose is positioning itself competitively, because it's able to put itself in a much better competitive position by staking this higher moral ground, even in cases when, you know, maybe they don't really see that as like pure philanthropy.
Yeah, you know, and one point I want to make about this essay by Elizabeth Warren gets into the startup environment and venture capital, where I've spent some time covering that. And she writes that venture capitalists are now hesitant to fund new startups to compete with these big tech companies because it's so easy for the big companies to either snap up growing competitors or drive them out of business. Well, most people in the venture capital arena want these large cash pooled companies to be able to go out and buy the innovative companies and technologies that they're creating.
She's talking about competition, but you're talking about the exits.
Absolutely. And that's mostly how you monetize your business as a venture capitalist. So venture capitalists, I think, would largely hate this concept, because if you did break it up, and or that every merger or acquisition is going to get scrutinized, do mergers and acquisitions drop by 30% or 40% from these large companies that could go out and potentially buy some of these companies?
Now, could you argue that WhatsApp separated from Facebook would be more acquisitive? It would be going out there and looking for more companies, and that would benefit the VCs?
Some companies throughout tech history have made that choice and have been enormously successful by deciding not to take a buyout and going it alone.
Yeah.
And some have completely flamed out. And that's the way things work. It seems like there's a belief that there's a guarantee that these three companies she's singled out are going to be around and thriving for the next 20 years. Again, Facebook is in crisis. Amazon has expanded so much they could potentially implode on their own weight. Google, I don't know. Give me something on Google, Todd. I don't have too much to say on Google. But like, seriously, there's no guarantee that these companies are going to exist, and they could find a potential threat that moves up through the ranks that turns down one of their acquisitions and goes and destroys them.
I'll give you the Google one. Google overwhelmingly relies on advertising revenue at a time of greater and greater concern about privacy and the data that fuels that advertising revenue.
They don't have a diverse business model.
Nope. And you've seen
why would you ever invest in Google? They don't have a diverse business model.
Yeah. By the way, no stock tips on the podcast.
That's right.
Okay, hey, we'll be right back with our voice recognition challenge, our voice synthesis challenge. Coming up next, you're listening to the GeekWire podcast.
I wanted a career in IT, but I didn't know where to start. WGU makes it simple. Their accredited online degree programs cover all kinds of IT specialties, and they have valuable industry certifications built in at no extra cost. The payoff? Having those certs back up my degree makes me look even better to future employers. A nonprofit university that includes top industry certs in their programs? I choose WGU. Learn more at wgu.edu/IT certs included.
Welcome back to the GeekWire podcast. It's Todd Bishop with John Cook. And John, as I mentioned at the outset, I've got a challenge for you.
I am an AI maestro. There's no way I'm getting stumped.
Okay. The backdrop. There is a new startup that has been spun out of the Allen Institute for Artificial Intelligence, also known as AI2. Alan Boyle on our team did a great story on this. They have come out with a new technology for synthesized voices. So basically the voices behind Siri, Cortana, Alexa.
Imagine they could get rid of our voices here on the podcast and we could have synthesized voices doing the show.
It's funny that you should say that because that is one of the things that they're talking about. So
Heard from one of the creators of this that was one of the things they're working on.
So here, just as an example, is what I want to test you on is we're going to hear a series of phrases and passages read by a voice actor, a human, and then this new technology from the company, which is called, as we said, Well Said Labs. So this is a new Seattle startup that just was announced this past week. So let's listen. And in each case, it's in the same order, but I'm not going to tell you which is which. So listen to this and then give me a sense.
So you're going to let me play. You're going to play a snippet from each.
Yes.
And then I have to guess which one.
You have to guess which one.
Human.
Yes. Which one is a human? So let's just listen to this.
The preceding chapter has established that the bullets which killed President Kennedy and wounded Governor Connolly. The preceding chapter has established that the bullets which killed President Kennedy and wounded Governor Connolly.
Okay. I think the first one there is the AI.
Okay. You think the first one is the AI?
Yes.
Okay. And now in each case, they're going to be in order. So let's just keep listening.
Chapter 2, The Assassination, Part 1. Chapter 2, The Assassination, Part 1.
All right. So they're still saying in the same order. So,
yes.
Okay. So I'm going with AI as the first voice and the human as the second voice.
John, you're wrong. The first voice is the voice actor, and the second voice is the synthesized voice.
The preceding chapter has established that the bullets which killed President Kennedy and wounded Governor Connolly.
That was the human voice.
Okay. The Connolly threw me off.
The preceding chapter has established that the bullets which killed President Kennedy and wounded Governor Connolly.
That was the synthesized
Connolly
voice.
Connolly was the word that threw me off.
Yeah. So here's
so the
my
synthesized
thing.
Voice is better, is what I'm saying.
I don't know if it's better or worse, but you thought it was human.
Yes,
that
I
is
did.
That is the point.
Thought it was human.
Here's my thing. I love this as a consumer. I use an app called VoiceDream, and I have a whole system set up where when I see an article that I like and I want to read, but I don't have time to during the day, I press a button, I send it to Pocket, and then I sync the app Pocket, which is basically a read it later service, to VoiceDream, and then the synthesized voice, when I'm going home, reads the article to me as if it were a podcast, and it's synthesized. I mean, it's not great. But when I can get like Alexa to read one of my books, like one of my Kindle books, which is one of the features of, like Alexa's getting closer. Like I can listen to Alexa for a long time. And this...
Well done. Well said.
So that is well said. It's a new AI startup that's been spun out. I think it's fascinating that it's hard to tell the difference between.
Oh, yeah. And this is going to create some complexities in society, as we're already seeing.
Absolutely. On the one hand, it could replace human voice actors. On the other hand, it could extend the reach of human voice actors if you use their voice as a pattern, right? And then you basically scale them. They can read anything, even if they haven't read it. All right, so that is, again, a new startup called Well Said Labs that spun out of AI2. And we are going to be right back on the GeekWire podcast with a report recorded live on the scene at the GeekWire Bash this past week, right after our epic ping pong match.
So it's correspondent Jim Valley. I'm on location here at the GeekWire Bash. Much like Martina Navratilova and Chris Evert, Yvonne Lendl and Jimmy Connors, we've had a match for the ages here in ping pong. Todd versus John. How was it, John?
I like to think of it more of the fire and ice rivalry of Bjorn Borg and John McEnroe of the 70s and 80s, frankly. I'll take on the John McEnroe personality. A little more aggressive, Todd a little more passive, and aggressiveness won this year.
It was the passive-aggressive match.
That's right.
Perfect for a Seattle event.
That's right.
So your daughter has made capes this year.
Yes, my wife and my daughter and I sort of, we were at the Michaels this weekend making custom GeekWire capes, so we were, you know, we're having fun. So we're running around in our superhero capes.
So the cape didn't help you in this epic matchup.
I got to say, I think the cape lost me a couple points.
You actually did take it off, I think, mid-match, because I think it was throwing you off a little bit.
I got to tell you, I was a little disappointed because I think, you know, I've been hanging out with Bill Gates lately, and, you know, he gets tips from Roger Federer, so why can't I somehow get that extension? You know, like, why isn't the glow? I mean, let's say this for the record, John. You beat me 3-0.
It was a blowout, and I don't know how many leg courts you had, but your serve was off. Your serve was off today. You're a better player than that. Actually, I anticipated a little heavier duty competition. I think your game was just off.
It was. And I have to say that when John and I were hatching the ideas for what ended up becoming GeekWire, we would go to the third floor of the PI conference room, the Seattle PI building, and pretend that we were playing ping pong while we discussed our secret plans to rule the world. So it was only appropriate that we had this sort of reunion of sorts.
And it's kind of funny because this event really did form out of ping pong. It started as a ping pong tournament. Now we have virtual reality and video games and dodgeball and foosball and a zip line and all sorts of craziness going on, sumo wrestling. But originally the start of it was, let's host something for the tech community, and what better to do than have a ping pong tournament, since that is truly the universal game of the tech community. And that's how this all started. And now we have 2,000 people out here and a lot of craziness.
That's right. And basically it was 300 people in a garage in Georgetown at its start, or we were at the Showbox Soto for many years. So this is kind of like the marquee GeekWire event. It's the one that was a little bit different. We wanted to make sure that it wasn't just another meetup or just another gathering of executives. It was something that everybody could come to and really have fun playing ping pong. And now we've got everything.
So this is my first GeekWire Bash, and you guys said, oh yeah, meet us over by the ping pong. And I was thinking, oh yeah, there'll be like a couple of tables. And there's a beginner area with a ton of tables. There's an intermediate area with a few less tables. And then there's an experience level. So when you talk about ping pong being the official tech activity, it's pretty serious here.
No, truly, if you do go to most technology companies, they have a foosball table and a ping pong table. And it is kind of the international sport of the tech industry. And it is an international game, which is one of the reasons why we love it, because you'll see people from all over the world participating in the ping pong tournament here at the GeekWire Bash.
But there are literally some players here that I saw that would give Forrest Gump a run at ping pong.
No, they're very high quality players. In fact, about 3 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, we actually had the former national champion of Japan, who flew in from Tokyo, who happened to be a sales executive at a tech company representing Asia. And he flew in, he made it all the way through the first round, second rounds, to the finals, and then lost to Avi Cavalli, the CEO of Shippable, this unknown startup guy. And the weird story about this is that ping pong tournament kind of put Avi and Shippable on the map. He had just started his company. Nobody knew who he was. He met a bunch of venture capitalists at that event. He then got into Techstars as a result of this, and now he just sold his company. And so we like to think that we have a part of his success in selling his company, because he met all these people at the GeekWire Bash.
So obviously this is for people to come here and have fun. I've seen a lot of companies with their teams. This is team building. This is a lot of fun, blowing off some steam. But there's actually literally some networking that can happen here.
There are connections being made and business being done over the ping pong court.
Absolutely. There's recruiting. There's all sorts of things happening in terms of the connections. And that's one of the fun things about the event. And the cool thing is, it's not only expanded into other sports, but we've got board games. And for the first time this year, we have a kids zone with robotics and all sorts of things.
Yeah, over 20 teams from across the state, 4th to 8th graders, and the first ever GeekWire Robotics Cup. So while we have ping pong going on simultaneously, we have over 250 kids participating in a robotics cup with prizes and competition going on and the nerdiest of stuff, which is a great part of the GeekWire Bash.
So next year, are we going to see another ping pong matchup, or do you think maybe you'll smarten up and pick an activity that maybe you excel at, Todd?
Sumo.
Oh no, I want to play horse. That's right about where I am at this stage of my life.
Okay.
Horse.
Okay.
I was a little winded after that ping pong match, I gotta say.
I was thinking maybe since you're into the zip line, maybe we could do time runs down the zip line.
Yeah, I definitely would beat John down the zip line just based on physics.
And my fear of heights, because you're not getting me up there. In fact, my son already tried to get me up there. My wife went out with him, and I was like, I'm not doing it.
We should do an online component to just let the people decide, all your GeekWire members, decide what activity you guys should face off in next year.
I like it. Okay, let's leave it up to the
dunk
people.
Dunk tank.
That's the classic.
Better yet, the loser goes in the dunk tank.
Yes, there you go.
There you are.
We got high stakes next year at the GeekWire Bash.
Awesome. Thanks, Jim. Hey, great report.
Thanks for listening, everybody.